We don't like it. We don't love it. We definitely don't want some more of it. Then again, they are tanking big time. The Sharks lose badly to the Nashville Predators. We'll break this one down. Oh, Lordy, help us all. Right now on this edition of Teal Town After Dark. Evening, everyone. I can't even say good evening because it's just, oh my God. March 19th, 2024, the San Jose Sharks lose to the Nashville Predators and finish an 0-5 road trip. Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. This is your live interactive Sharks post game. We do this after every game. If you want to be part of the show, chat with us and fellow hockey fans all over the world on the YouTube page or the app. Follow us on all the social medias. And, of course, find everything at TealTownUSA.com. If you want to support the pod, hit us up on Venmo at TealTownUSA or hit us up with a donation in the Super Chat right now if you're watching us live. And if you're watching the replay, leave a comment down below on what you thought of tonight's game. And, boy, howdy, there are a lot of thoughts. And they ain't good, Mark Eisenberg. How are you, buddy?
Significantly better now that the game has ended.
Yes. Dear Lord. All I'm going to say is start with this. It was 2-1. It was 2-1.
2-1 halfway through the game. 2-1 halfway through the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, holy heck. I mean, yes, you are going against the Nashville Predators, who have been the hottest team in the league. They have won, or they haven't won, but they've been on a 14-game point streak. They haven't lost in regulation in quite some time. The Sharks 0-4 on the current road trip. They only have one win since the All-Star break on the road in Calgary. And you said that one and Ottawa on March 9th, correct? Are the only two wins since the All-Star break?
If so, two wins.
You want tanking? We got tanking for you. You know, it's rough. Corona back in net for 7th out of the last 10 games. Reuter draws back in with LeBanc and Barabanov healthy scratches. Hoffman's out with an injury. I wonder if Barbie makes a comeback now. Just saying, you know, Saros in his last 11 games. I mean, unbelievable numbers, you know, 190 goals against, 934 save percentage. I mean, it's just unreal. Sharks hung in there early on, especially the first 20 mark. You know, Yossi gets a bomb to make it 1-0 about halfway through the period. Granlund with I love this shot that Granlund had on this goal.
Great finish.
With this 10th to tie it up at 1. What did you think?
Yeah, great finish. Nice pass also. I believe that was from Klim Kostin.
Yep.
Across the ice to him, just open coming up the right side there. And it was one of those moments where like I had a split second to think and see what was happening, but I felt really confident with Granlund. He's like the one guy that every game I just feel like he's going to make something happen at some point. So he gets another goal, continuing what is going to eventually be kind of a forgotten, pretty damn good season from one of these Sharks players.
Yeah, he might be the only one that's going to get to 50 points on the campaign, which is something unbelievably telling. You know, I want to say even Kelly Kissio in that 71 loss season had like 70-something points before he bailed and moved to Colorado, or to, excuse me, not Colorado, Calgary, one of the other C teams, yeah. So game tied at 1 on that one. Second period, you got to show off the shirt, dude, when we're talking about your boy. Come on. There you go. Super Fario. Or Fario. Yeah, see, I can't even do impressions right. That's how bad this game was.
The Sharks tank is rubbing off on you there.
Oh, it's a me. It's a Mario. And it's a goal. Ferraro with a sweet. The two goals that they had tonight, Mark, I mean, they were fantastic shots. And, of course, it would be going against one of the best goalies in the league right now.
Yeah, Farr with a six shot caps catches the top corner there, and a 2-point night for him. You don't see that all the time.
No. His second of the season gives the Sharks the lead. Yes, you heard me, folks. The Sharks actually had the lead in this game. Bortolo and Bailey and the assists on this one. So Bortolo, you know, they're all talking about how his dad works for the Predators. Nice to see there. But then what happened? Oh, Lordy. All right, so let's build through these really quickly. Jason Zucker, his 11th at 937. Michael McCarron at 1526. Luke Evangelista, his 15th at 1750. And then they just missed the buzzer beater by Cole Smith. Like, oh, man.
That's the most amazing part about this score line. There was two more goals that did not count.
Oh, man. Not the least of which is Klim Kostin takes a skate. We hopefully not a blade to the, I think, Brett Hedekin.
The region.
Yeah. Brett Hedekin said it as the unmentionables. It just doesn't help. Mikko Sturm gets, you know, injured in the third period blocking a shot. And then the Sharks couldn't do anything shot on goal wise in the third period. Meanwhile, Nashville decides to go off. 10:35, Michael McCarron gets his second of the game, his 11th. Mark Jankowski gets a nice tip in at 14:13 to make it 6-2. Philip Forsberg, not even like what 30 seconds later to make it 7-2, and Tommy Novak finishes the 2-point conversion with his 15th. Like not even 2 minutes after that. I want to say, and I'll credit Uncle Darren Thomas for, Uncle Darren Stevens. My goodness. I'm so pissed that I can't even get names right tonight. It's the 17th time the Sharks have allowed 2 goals within a minute.
Rough season. That's the best way to summarize that. That was a short span in that third period where I literally I felt every shot was going to go in, because there were a couple more shots they didn't score on that were very close to going in. It just did. It was the complete collapse by the team. Corona getting no help. Yeah. Just bounces, everything going in. Nothing was working. Couldn't get pucks out of the zone.
Yeah.
I think Klim Kostin, he tried to get one of those out by himself. And what happens? He tries to go through two players in the defensive zone. They steal the puck, comes back, goal seconds later. Just a disastrous performance from the 10-minute mark on in the second period.
Yeah. It's just frustrating and rough to see it. I mean, you have to wonder, maybe, you know, fatigue setting in. We've heard that word coming in again on there. So you have to wonder if their conditioning is okay. And granted, these guys are probably playing through a crap ton of injuries right now, and it doesn't help that Kostin and Sturm are banged up tonight, and among others on this squad. But, I mean, 3 out of the last 4 periods, Mark, you're giving up 3-plus goals.
Yeah, it's definitely taking a toll on the team. And the other thing I'd point out is that defending is so much more tiring than playing offense. And the Sharks are just constantly defending. I mean, you saw it in the second period in this game. How many times did they mention it that a pair of defenders or an entire line was out there for a minute and a half, 2 minute shifts? And those, while you do get a short break after them to kind of, you know, get your strength back, they have a toll on you later in the game. You have a shift like that where I think one of the shifts was over 3 minutes. I don't remember who the defenders were. It might have been Thrun.
I think it was Thrun and Ruda had a shift for 3 minutes, 30 seconds. They couldn't get off the ice.
Your body's not coming fully back from that after a shift like that, especially since you're probably blocking some shots. You're taking some hits in the corners, trying to get those pucks out. You are worn down.
Right.
So, yeah, this team just fell apart, and you saw it there late in the game.
It was just awful. I mean, it's one of those ones where, you know, you could say worst loss of the season. And it's like we've had way too many of those here. You know, you want to see some elevation in their game, and it just did not happen on this road trip at all. And you know, going through the chat here, you know, Ramon Garcia, it was 2-1. you know, Ricky's asking the bench Addison to call up Mook. You know, Ian Perry, I low key thought this was going to be another 10 goal loss. You know, Chris Martin, you know, playing in the next game, Celebrini is going to refuse to play for us. I mean, now we're getting into tough mode here, Mark. If that were to get into bad shape, you know,
I'm starting to wonder when goalies are going to start refusing to play for us.
Precisely, and you have to start wondering if goaltending coaches are going to be looked at in the off season, especially if it's anything like Russian scouts.
Oh boy, yeah.
You know, Felix. Honestly, I don't think I really hear Felix ever curse either in person or online. And he says, F it, call up the effing Barracuda at this point, LMAO. Problem is, the Barracuda don't have as many players right now either at this point.
Just scrolling through our schedule throughout the season, and this is a rough count, so I might have missed a game or two in there, but I count 9 games of 7 or more goals against.
Oh, God. Gang, like I've told you before, if you ever wanted to know what the experience was like the first 2 seasons for the Sharks, you're experiencing it right now. I don't know if we're going to get to 50 regulation losses, but if we do, you're on target of it. But what is the record now? 14 or 15 wins on the season?
I show 16-45-7.
16-40. Oh, wow. Okay. 16-45-7. All right. We are kind of on that pace for the inaugural season, Mark. If we can just get over 2 wins to beat the 91-92 record of 17 wins, that would be, I think there's your glimmer of mission accomplished a little bit there. Dave B, this is a distinct possibility. As Nick said on the broadcast, losing consistently like this can take an entire organization off the rails. Yeah. And it's just, you know, and like you said, and kind of going off of what Ricky's been saying, who cares about the past? We just have to out-tank Chicago right now. I mean, as we were saying, you know, off air, that Chicago loss on this coming Saturday, I know I already predicted it as a loss, but I mean, if the Chicago beats the Sharks Saturday night, that could be it. I mean, it doesn't clinch the worst record, but, you know, you're getting pretty close.
Yeah, that could be potentially the nail in the coffin. Like, they're what, 4 points up right now? They're playing as we speak. And if they were to go 6 points up on the Sharks with each team only having about 12 games or so after that, that is not the easiest hill to climb for this Sharks team that can't win back-to-back games ever at this point. So, yeah, that's going to be a big one. That's going to be a big one in determining who gets those number one odds.
Yeah. Kevin Way's asking, and I'm not sure who this is, but has anyone ever seen Mark and NASCAR driver Kaz Grala in the same place? I might have to look that up.
I have no idea who that is either.
Yeah, I might have to look that up in a little bit, Kevin. We'll get back to you in a bit. You know, and a lot of people talking about, you know, about does everybody hate Quinn? Honestly, I'm not sure how much any coach could do aside from motivation.
I don't think we get a read on him. Yeah, I can't get a read on him. I didn't love the hire before it happened just because I didn't really necessarily love or hate his time here with the Rangers in New York. But I don't think you can really make any sort of judgment on him. It's not like he's getting good players who are underperforming. He just has an absolute trash roster. Yeah. So I really can't judge him for anything that's happened this year. Or last, really.
Yeah, it's fine. LOL, Felix will want to watch them lose 10-20. Ian saying goaltending coach is fine. You know, Sharks did improve their coach, like the Tiger saying. Their goalie coach and their goalie scout advisor is a career choice I loved. Of course, getting Ryan Miller is this. But this has to play in the psyche of the goaltenders, just going back and forth of dealing with all this stuff. You know, defense not helping out much. I thought Corona was swimming a little bit on a couple of the goals. But I mean, it's tough. Like Ian's saying, you know, goalies are being put into the position they should not be in, and they're being left out to rot.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think Corona's kind of in a situation where he's actually forced to be in the NHL when he really isn't quite an NHL goalie yet. And on top of that, he's being put in front of this defense and this team, where he's facing 35, 40 shots a night, most of which are in grade A opportunities. I'm not going to be too harsh on Corona. I think it's not great for a young goaltender's confidence, and especially for his first experiences in the NHL to be like this. But he's had some good games mixed in there where hopefully he can build some confidence off of those, and look at nights like this and say, yeah, there's not really too much I could have done. I mean, sure, a few of those goals probably could have come back with better goaltending, but I really don't put much of it on him.
Yeah, I think this is a team one, you know, and it's tough to see. I mean, the poor guy is, you know, getting some regular ice time now, and it's just having a tough time with his defense score, and let alone the offense not really showing up too much in this road trip. Hashtag two or fewer. You know, a lot of some love for Klim Kostin. You know, on the bright side, Klim is what people hope Zadina would be. From Ricky, I'm the beat plug 831. The Shimmick trade looks a lot like the Barabanov trade. Too early to tell, however.
Yeah, I've liked Kostin. I think he moves well for his size. He's looked good in his time with the Sharks. I do think players sometimes have a tendency to look good in short stints after deadlines. They get a little bit of a boost. So I'm going to be interested to see, A, how he closes out this season, and then B, what the story is going forward with him. But definitely initially getting some good vibes from his play.
Yeah, he's definitely brought some thump, brought some good play onward, and that's why he got promoted to the top line during this road trip. So it'll remain to be seen what's gonna come up of him, but it's tough, you know. And and I agree, Ian. He should have been Corona should have been pulled after the second disallowed goal. Yeah. And it's a tough situation. Who knows? You know, Mackenzie Blackwood was on this trip and did not make an appearance. So we'll see what happens next for Blackwood as they get ready to come home and take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Oh, God.
Yeah, nothing like preparing that offense for our defense. That should be another entertaining game.
Oh, big time. Some quotes from the locker room now from David Quinn. I thought we were playing a good game until midway through the second period. Take nothing away from them. They're in a groove right now, playing great hockey. Yeah, Nashville matches a franchise record for a 15 game without a regulation loss. I mean, they're on a roll, dude. I mean, we talk about Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg in the Central. Now Nashville's like, don't forget about us, gang.
Yeah, they're on an absolute tear ever since coach tore into them following a bad loss. But you look at their roster. Roman Josi is just an absolute beast. He had a great game. He's been on fire recently. And Forsberg also doing very well. Former Shark, short-time Shark, but Nyquist having a really good season.
Yep.
So they're looking strong kind of headed into the playoffs here.
Yeah, definitely looking like a team that's going to be in it. They're at 84 points on the campaign. They comfortably sit in the first wild card spot, which means they would get, I would believe, at the moment they would get Vancouver in round one. But that can change down the road. I mean, but yeah, you've got great goaltending, decent offense, strong defense, and Josi with the playmaking ability, you know.
Yeah, and I love seeing an undersized goalie doing well too.
Yeah.
They don't always need to be 6'5" or 6'6".
Very true. I'm not going to mention a Cooley's name, but you know, 6'5", you know, I remember a certain goaltender that was like Wall and was under 6 foot. So, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different era, but Saros is at 5'11". So you don't see too many of those dominating in the NHL these days.
Big time. Quinn goes on to say, we know who we are. They get a power play and it changes momentum for them. We get a power play and we're lucky to not give up a shorthanded goal.
That's a quote.
That's spot on, quite honestly, from Quinn. I mean, you know, and this was one of the, you know, we talked about it a couple of games ago. I think it was against Columbus, how they were promoting, you know, they were one of the hottest power plays in March, and now we get a power play and we're lucky not to give up a shorthanded goal.
Tons of faith they're giving the coach.
Oh, boy. It's getting bad, dude. I mean, jeez, Louise. He'll finish up by saying, brutal puck play, not paying attention to where you should be, just cashing in during the last 10 minutes. I mean, I appreciate the honesty, but... You know, if makes you wonder if Quinn's kind of had it.
I think,
I don't blame him either if that's the case.
You look at his face whenever they kind of cut to him and you just see that defeated look. And I don't know. I just can't imagine what it's like coaching a season like this. I think there's just such a different level between what's happening here on some of these nights and what you think of when a team is just not good or towards the bottom of the league. And this is the first time I've really been watching the Sharks tank for a couple of seasons, but I just don't feel like it was this bad for some of the other teams when they were tanking. I could be wrong on that. I don't have the stats to back it up at the moment, but I just don't recall seeing regular 10-2, 8-2, 7-1 type losses.
It's just consistently, and that is not a great look. That's the tough part to see. So we'll put a book on that one. 8-2, Sharks lose to the Predators. The only thing we can do right now to give us some positivity in some sort is talk about the kids. We're on the verge of the NCAA hockey tournament. Mark, I'll let you have at it with the prospects and where this is going.
Sure. This weekend coming up, we have the Hockey East semifinals. So BC is facing off against UMass. That is Friday afternoon. And on the other half of the bracket, you have BU facing off with Maine. So two good matchups. Most likely BU and BC will come out of both those matches as they are the favorites and play in the final on Saturday. So it's a good opportunity to see Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini, and those teams. And then both those teams are guaranteed to make the NCAA tournament as they were 1-2 in the final polls. So look for them the following week, depending on where their regionals are, what days they'll be playing. But another good opportunity to watch those players. And also a team to keep an eye on is Michigan State University. They will definitely be in the tournament. They were the fifth team in the rankings, in the final rankings. And they have Lev Shinov, who is one of the top prospects for the upcoming draft. Defenseman.
I mean, I know it's a long shot, and especially a lot of things have to happen for Pittsburgh, but is there any chance that it could get down to, I guess the golden number would be 11 for Pittsburgh, or is he too good that he'll be in the top 10?
I highly doubt it. I think he's actually more likely to go in the top two or three.
Okay.
Than he would be to going outside of that area. I think the situation with him, as opposed to some of the other defensemen, are not even necessarily defensemen, but guys like Demidov and Silayev. They have the Russian element, whereas Levshinov's already here playing in college. He's actually Belarusian, and I think he's got a lot of the tools that NHL teams covet. He's big, he can skate, he creates a lot of offense. He's got some questions defensively, but I'm sure NHL teams will look at that and think that that's something they can fix. So I have seen various rankings of him anywhere from 2 down to as low as even like 7 or 8, but I think the majority of consensus has him in top 5. So I don't think the Sharks would really be looking at getting someone like him unless they don't win the lottery, but he would be a pretty good second or third overall pick if we unfortunately miss out on Celebrini.
Yeah. Or he says, trade me out of here right now. Which, thanks a lot, whoever that was. That you got me thinking, oh, that's going to be Lindros all over again. That's the last thing we need.
Yeah.
It is still 1-1 early in the second period between the Kings and Blackhawks right now. Foligno with the only goal for Chicago. I mean, that's kind of the scoreboard watching that we all have left at this point. I mean, oh boy. I mean, I wonder if they pull that off, beat the Sharks, that could potentially open up an 8-point lead here, which I can't see for the Sharks. Might be beyond insurmountable.
Yeah, it would be very difficult to come back from that, but the positive would be is even despite the fact that 25% odds still don't sound great, the lowest we could possibly drop would be the third
right
overall pick. So there is some positive to that, along with having that nice 25% odds number. So I have also had my eyes glued to Chicago on a nightly basis whenever they are playing.
Yeah. And they really showed their stuff in that third period. On Sunday, I just was like, wow. It's just a bummer to see Logan Cooley, you know, make his debut and have that loss. And he took it strongly, and I feel for the guy, but that's another one down the road. So Sharks will get on the plane, head home. They'll be a little tired when they get home. Into their beds tonight, and then they will prep for the Tampa Bay Lightning on Thursday. Tampa Bay, I mean, is fighting for their playoff lives at this moment, which, you know, weird to say at the moment, you know, 78 points on the campaign. Right now they are in the first wild card position. Did I say Logan Cooley again? God, I don't know where I don't know where it is. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Ian. Logan Cooley is a Coyote. Devin Cooley is our Sharks goaltender. One day, at this point, we might as well get out of here soon. But Tampa, you know, needing all the points they can get, they're going to come into San Jose and you can't say they aren't going to light it up. I mean,
they've been on a pretty good run. I mean, they've got 6 wins in their last 10. They're fighting, like you said, for that final couple playoff spots. And that race is pretty tight with a bunch of other teams. So they're going to be motivated. So I would expect them to come in. And if you just come in hot, and if you look at their last few games, 7 goals against Philly, 6 goals against the Rangers, 5 goals against Florida. And right before that, they had a loss to Calgary. So they are running hot. They're playing Vegas tonight. But that Thursday game, yeah, that could be another one like tonight.
Yeah, it could get ugly. I don't know if a third 10-goal game is possible. But it is the return of Anthony Duclair to the Shark Tank. Hope the tribute video is ready to go for that. Indeed. But yeah, Tampa Bay at 78 points. Detroit at 76 holds the last playoff spot in the wild card. But Washington's 3 points out, or 1 point out of that second wild card spot with Detroit at 75. The Islanders are in it, you know, 3 points back. Buffalo's 5 points back. New Jersey with, I believe they won tonight. Timo Meier had a nice night where I decided to bench him in the Teal Town Hockey League playoffs against Hockey Jerk. Yeah, that was a great move. But I digress. So in the chat.
Duclair does have a goal tonight.
Does he? Yeah. There you
go. So that'll be his third goal in five games with Tampa.
What is he? How many goals now is he on for
on the season? Yeah. He'll be up to 19.
Yeah, he's been on a run lately. I think he was, 14, 15 when before he got traded? So he's been on a good one there.
Yeah, it was a great pickup by Tampa. You know, he was playing well with the Sharks right before getting traded, and then you look at fitting him into that lineup, you know he's going to produce.
Right, and it's really nice there. Let's see, Kevin. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate it. It's my fault. I've accidentally said Logan Cooley in the chat. Ugh. Kevin, don't worry. I've said it for back-to-back shows, so that's on me. Buddy Bandit, what's the jersey of the game tonight? This is an MIC repurposed with my nickname on it, and it has the Marlowe patch on it. So I don't think I need to do a little twirl or anything for you guys, you know. So yeah. Duclair is going to bring Stamkos back to the Bay Area with him. Hey, I would love that. The Sharks are going to, I think the Sharks are going to need to hit the cap floor soon. They're going to have plenty of cap space to do it with them. So, you know, I wouldn't mind it, but I'm sure they would, to be quite honest.
We could use all the real NHL players we can get at this point.
Or, you know, ain't that the truth, you know? And I know there are comments in the chat asking, hey, why aren't we getting Gushchin in here yet? You know, and honestly, hey, Mark, the Cooties need all the help they can get down there, too.
Yeah, so. It's a question we've been asking for quite some time. And I don't know. I feel like I'm a broken record at this point. Every time I say, when are we going to see him the rest of the season? I keep saying, oh, yeah, we're going to see Gushchin a few games into the season. But yeah. I just, if we haven't seen him during this stretch, when are we going to?
So, yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of starting to think it might not happen.
Which, you know, I'm sure that'll upset his agent, you know. And,
yeah.
And true, Ian, no room at the inn. You know, it's a full capacity at this point, you know. So, all right. Well, I think at this point it is time for us to wrap things up. So in case you missed anything or you want to watch this again, check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, wherever you get your podcasts. You name it, you love it. We have it all over here. Of course, if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that like button. Only 3. Come on. We got to have more than 8 goals for Nashville. Come on. Let's beat that. Of course, smash that subscribe button and hit that notification bell. Like if we go on live with breaking news, we will send a notification. Well, YouTube does, but you know, you get the idea when we go on the air for it. So appreciate each and every one of you on this night, and especially you, Mark, and after this debacle, your final thoughts on tonight's action.
I think the score sums up tonight's action, but yeah, I just time of year to start following the prospects and their playoff runs. So as I mentioned earlier about the NCAA tournament, but also some of the players that are in juniors, watch their teams and follow them right now, cause they're going to be entering their playoff runs as well. And the Sharks have some hot players in juniors.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a fun one. I know London's going to be in with Casper Halton in. Quentin Musty's been a phenomenal player. And shout out to Ian's hometown, Sue. They're always so effing good, you know. So it'll be interesting with that, along with Luca Cagnoni in the Western League, who's, my goodness, I don't know what could be more of a steal in a draft, Musty or Cagnoni. I know they were in different areas of the draft, but you know, the future's looking bright. Let's just get through the pain that we're dealing with right now.
Yep, and it should look a lot brighter a couple of months later.
Hopefully.
So. Yep.
So he's at Marky Mark SJS on the Twitter X machine. I'm at PuckGuy14 and practically everywhere on social media. We will be back with you following Sharks and Lightning. That is a 7:30 p.m. Pacific time start. So with that, for all of us here, thanks for watching. And until then, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you in the Discord. And Thursday following the Sharks, hopefully making respectable against the Lightning. Good night, everyone.